Okay, so my strangest gift, this was a hard question. I asked it and I still didn't really know. But then I realized that in my family, so I'm one of four kids, and my mom she died just a couple years ago, a sister, Auntie Linda, and she lived in all kinds of places. And my mom was probably like, I can't believe you don't remember, but one was like Rhode Island and one was Tennessee. So she would, and she never had her own kids, so she would send us a box at Christmas, and we would save it for the end. We'd all get these amazing presents, and then we'd be like, let's open the Auntie Linda box. And it was always like, first of all, my mom got normal gifts from her, because I don't know, she liked her most because she was the sister. But then there was like makeup she tried and didn't want anymore for me. And then there was like just like gloves that she had opened and they didn't fit, so she sent them to us. But our favorite thing in the box was always a nut log. Have you guys ever heard of these? Okay, so they're actually really delicious, but they're like just nuts rolled in, I think there's nougat or just like paste inside. But when you're a kid and you get a nut log, it's like, what? So we would always cheer, nut log, nut log. It was bad, but also the strangest thing I think I ever got.
Sounds like a good white elephant gift
Ex
tradition.
100%. Except then we actually did start to open them and eat them, and we were like, oh, these are good.
Good.
And you've heard of them, right?
Yeah.
Some people just have not. Us in New Jersey didn't have heard of those. Okay, so today I'm talking about gifts, and those are some strange gifts, but what about these gifts? Eliana, do you remember what the wise man brought to Jesus? Do you remember the presents they bought? Yeah. Mark, do you know the gifts that they gave?
Candy
No, false. So,
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
thank you. So, I thought those were pretty strange gifts to give to a toddler. So, we're going to talk about how those gifts influenced the gifts that we give today. And then, of course, one of the other reasons we give gifts is because we were given the greatest gift, and that is what, Lindsay? Who is it?
Jesus.
Jesus! He's the answer to all questions. Okay, so let's pray, and we're going to talk about the wise men for a little bit. Lord, I just thank you for this church family. I just ask that we would really hear your word today, that we would be reminded to look differently at Christmas and to give gifts in a different way this year. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's the goal today. I just want us to look more carefully at how we give gifts this season. So, first of all, let's talk about the wise men a little bit. So, imagine you're in your house and you have like a 2-year-old running around, and then some dudes show up, super dressed, nice, on camels, and they bring your child gold, not money, gold, and perfume, like for burning incense, and then also embalming oil. Like, that would be weird. So I wonder what Mary thought, and it does say in Luke that she treasured up all these things in her heart, but I wonder if she was also like, huh? But then, this is the coolest thing about those gifts. Each of them had a specific meaning, and those wise men were there to worship the King of Kings, and those gifts represented that. So let's read the story. I know we don't have slides, so I'm just going to read it to you today. If you have your own Bible, it's in Matthew 2. So here's the story of the wise men. I'm going to take a break. I'm not, not breathing yet today. Okay. Matthew 2, 1 through 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When the king heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen, when it rose, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. The child. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All right, so they did their research. These guys studied that star. It rose. It wasn't supposed to be there. We talked about this last time I got to preach. And they were like, that star is important. They looked up a lot of things. They knew that it was a prophecy. They followed that star till they found the king, who happened to be 2 or 3 years old at that time. But what they brought with them were gifts that honored a king. They were showing him that they recognized who he was and what he meant. Sure, he did not bring blocks or toys. They weren't looking at him as the three-year-old. They were looking at him as the Messiah, the one that people were waiting for. So we do this as well. Gifts are made to mean something to the one that's receiving it. We want to show that we honor them, we love them, we know them. But these gifts are a little unique, and I have to tell you that one of the things I do when I know I'm going to preach is I dig deep, deep, deep into stuff, and I find out so much information, and I just want to share it with all of you, but I will not do that crazily today. But if you want to look up frankincense and myrrh, oh, it's so fascinating. So first they gave him gold, and a lot of times we sing about these, and we hear about them, and they're kind of like these mythical, mystical gifts, but really these were very practical items that were given to royalty. So gold is a staple for royalty. It's the most precious metal, so it's precious. Frankincense, oh, not Frankenstein. Frankincense is a precious incense, and it's actually used throughout the Bible to burn sacrifices to get a pleasing aroma. Okay, you guys, get this. All right, so it's super hard to get. It travels from super far away, so we know that the wise men, they can't just Google it, right? They have to like travel to get it, travel to bring it to the person. It's very expensive. At that point, it was expensive. It is made from balsam wood. So like the sap comes out, gets hard, and then it's a resin. So both frankincense and myrrh are resin that come from a tree. The tree is a balsam wood. Oh. Okay, it's got a star-shaped leaf that comes in white and green. And does it sound familiar? Like, we have a balsam fir tree in our house. Like, that is so crazy Christmas. Like, the connections are just too much. I love it. Okay, but also it was burned to worship and to represent something holy. So they brought this resin, and this is what it says in Exodus 30. So they were using it a long time ago. God gave us the law, right? There was Moses, he gave us the law. So this was one of the laws. Gather fragrant spices, resin droplets, moloch shell, and galbanum. I didn't look that one up, but I will. And mix these fragrant spices with pure frankincense, weighed out in equal amounts. Using the usual techniques of the incense maker, blend the spices together and sprinkle them with salt to produce a pure and holy incense. Grind some of the mixture into a very fine powder and put it in front of the Ark of the Covenant, where I will meet with you in the tabernacle. God is saying, I will meet with you in the tabernacle. You must treat this incense as most holy. Never use this formula for this incense for yourselves. It is reserved for the Lord, and you must treat it as holy. So frankincense was a big deal. I love it. Okay, and then myrrh. Myrrh is even cooler. Myrrh is used in medicines. It cures pain, and it's used for embalming. So they knew that the king, the Messiah, was going to die because of the prophecies. They knew. And so they brought him incense to worship the holy God, and myrrh, like, ugh. Someday you're going to die, but we're not going to talk about it. We're just going to bring you the myrrh. And Mary was like, what? So myrrh is a gum resin also. Comes from a bush way far away, hard to get, and it leaks out and they collect it. The Bible records myrrh showing up three times in the life and death of Jesus. First, the kings, bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Mark says that when Jesus was dying on the cross, someone offered him wine mixed with myrrh to stop the pain, and he refused it. And finally, John, in the book of John, Joseph of Arimathea is recorded with Nicodemus. They brought a mixture of 75 pounds of myrrh and aloes to anoint Jesus' body, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in the tomb. Oh my gosh, I love it. So I couldn't help it. I had to Google it myself and see if there was some that I could get, and I did. I'm so excited. So in this box I have gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I am so excited to pass it around. And then I also have, it doesn't smell like anything. It's crazy. And it really, it's like rocks that you burn for incense. And then I have the oil that is still used to take away pain. It's an essential oil, basically. So you should open it and smell it. I was going to put it on here and then everyone would be like, whoa. So it's just, it's a beautiful smell, but open it, smell it, close it back up. But I wanted you guys to see that. Yeah, I was so excited. So if you're at home right now, come to Christmas Eve, I'll bring it back and you can take a look at it. You can take it out and hold it if you want to. It really doesn't, I thought it would get all over. Nope. So anyway, that was gifts that were given then. So what do we do with that now? Now we give gifts, even throughout the year. Like if I go to someone's house, they invite me for dinner, what do you usually bring to that? I would bring wine, like a nice bottle of wine. I would bring chocolate. I would bring a dessert. I would bring whatever they asked me to bring. But we honor that person by bringing a gift when we show up.
A vegetable turkey.
Yes, a turkey of shaped, a turkey-shaped veggie tray that I bring, and I'm very proud of it. Dignitaries always, always bring gifts when they come to see the president and vice versa. A lot of times it's like presents from their country or just something that was really special to them, and it brings honor to that person. They are seen, they are cared for, they are honored, blessed. So we still do that, but as a gift giver myself, so gifts are kind of my love language, I would say they're in my top two. Christmas is so intense for me because I love to give gifts. I want to get them right, and all I want to do is bless the other person. But for Christmas, when you're giving gifts to everyone in your family, all of your friends, the gift giver mind like explodes. I cannot do it. It's so hard. And like the pressure that I put on myself is insane. It's probably the most stress I feel is like trying to buy gifts for people. I mean, I must have seen 30 shoe ornaments that I wanted to buy for Lindsay yesterday, and I literally had to put all of them back. I was like, okay, which one is, I found one, just so you know, and it was the perfect one, but my brain cannot stop moving. So that's not honoring to the people that I love. That's about me. So in our family, the four siblings, my brothers and sister live all different places in America. And so we end up using a lot of Amazon, and we finally found Giftster.com. So it's perfect. It's like a registry for Christmas presents. So you sign up and then you're in a group, so the Grauman family, and then you just put a bunch of gifts that you want. And on that list, there's the website, the price, like how long it's gonna take to get there, and it's awesome. And then I would go through as the gift giver, look at the list, pick something, and then I say reserved, and then no one else buys the same gift. It's amazing. So every year I'm like, this is gonna be so easy. This is my budget, blah, blah. So then we start looking at the lists and I just start like crying because I'm like, I wanna buy the $150 Lego Friends set and like the Seinfeld set, and I cannot do that. So then I just feel like I'm the worst. And then I get depressed because we don't have enough money to buy what I want, and they're not gonna think I love them enough. Literally, I am looking at a list of things that they want. That's all I have to do is check it off. So my brother always asks for a big bag, like a 4-pound bag of gummy soda. Like, you know, those little soda bottles. And there are some gummy candy that you just can't buy in the store in bulk. And he literally eats them all year long. And every year I'm like, dang it. This is what I can afford to get him. So I end up being the gummy candy buyer. But I'm always like, dang it, this is not good enough. It's not enough. And then I'm always like, wait, this is what he asked for. I'm literally giving him what he wants because I'm hearing him, I'm seeing him, I'm loving him. And then he gets to eat candy all year. What is wrong with that? Nothing. So this year I tried really hard not to lose it, and I was very close. And then my daughter saved me. So Anna and I were hanging out the other day. She likes to just come into my bed when she's bored. And whatever I'm watching, she'll just watch, and I just rub her back, and she just talks to me. And so she was chatting with me, and she goes, oh, hey, I got an A on my assignment, my essay. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I think I was supposed to know that she was stressed about it. I didn't. I felt terrible. So I was like, oh, great job, babe. Of course you did. And she was like, really hard on that, Mom. And I was like, okay, great job then. Awesome. And she goes, it was about you, you know. And I was like, what? Okay. So then she goes, I mean, I was working nonstop on it for like a month. I'm like, oh, geez. She was thinking about me for a month. Yikes. So she goes, you want to read it? And I was like, of course. And so she left and emailed me it. And I was just in bed like, okay, let's see what got her an A that she wrote about me. And literally within the first two sentences, I was crying. Like, she talked about how I call her my duckling, and she always is following behind me. And the whole essay was like 2 pages long, and it was. Oh, I'm trying to figure out how to frame it because it's so, so life-giving that this child, this teenage child of mine, sees me, loves me, knows me, cares about me. It was insightful. It was, frankly, kind of embarrassing because she was pretty real about it. But also just the love that she has and the things that she sees that I do not know. Plus, she's a freaking good writer. She is amazing. I had no idea that was in her. And so it was the best gift I've ever gotten. And she didn't wrap it. It didn't cost her a penny. It was 100%, Mom, I want to share this with you. And it was about me, which is, I love that, of course, but It wasn't just like, my mom is nice, her nails are painted. It was like the deepest, insightful things that she was seeing about me. And it taught me about gifts in general. I love to open a wrapped box. I just do. I love it when people come out and they're like, one more gift, and it's for me, and like, unbelievable. Sam knows, right? The Roku. Like almost made me faint. But there was something about this, like I am seen, that changed everything. So the wise men, maybe they didn't give what a 2-year-old would want, but they saw Jesus as the King of Kings and they honored him and they showed us how to honor him. So I want to be like the wise men. Let's be more like them. Let's honor each other. Remember what giving gifts are about. And then, of course, I can't not mention that the other reason that we give gifts is because Jesus is our gift. We were given the best gift of all. We were given the child of God to die for us. And the thing is that not only did we get that gift, everybody gets that gift. And they don't know it. It's not wrapped on Christmas under the tree. It is something that happens all the time. There is no mention that in order to get the gift of Jesus, you have to have a living tree in your living room and like wrap it up. And plus we have to do nothing for it. And so what better way to show that we are loved than to love others the same? By giving them the same love that God gave us. We didn't deserve it. And I think this is a perfect season to do that, and we can do it all year. I looked up gift of God verses and so I just thought it was so funny. Every time I did that, I got a list of 92 verses about gifts of God, 108 verses. And I was like, okay, I can't read all those. I was going to show you on a slide, but I'm going to read a couple that I love the most to remind us that The gift of God is every day. It's constant. His gifts are numerous. They are perfect. So here's some examples. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 4, 7 to 8. But each one of you, each one of us, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Acts 2, 38. Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Luke 11, 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children on Christmas, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And James 1, 17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. And then you can say this one with me in your heart, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So it's like, what, 4 or 5 days from when we actually do give the gifts that we've been buying? And honestly, I have no problem with a tree full of wrapped gifts under it. I love birthdays, I love anniversaries, I love surprise gifts, I love gifts, gifts, gifts. But this Christmas, not only can you give those gifts, because I worked hard to get the right gifts for my kids, I wish Sam could open his gift right now. I'm so excited. It's so cheesy, but you're gonna like it. But I know he didn't even ask for anything, I just know. So when we open those gifts, let's look at them a little differently. Let's really think about honoring the person, even when they unwrap it, even if they say, like Jeremiah did, I already have this. That's okay, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about the gift, it matters about the love. So I'm challenging myself to this too, because I'm terrible at this. Literally on Christmas Eve, we always have dinner. This year we're having Chinese food, so I'm not cooking. It's gonna be the best Christmas Eve ever. And then we have a birthday cake for Jesus. Then we read the Christmas story. So we have a little nativity and they put it together, and they always have every year, and they just know that I want them to do that. And then it's just gifts, gifts, gifts. And so this year, maybe we take a little more time on the story of Jesus. And I am committing this to you guys. I want to take more pictures of the dinner time and the hugging and the laughter than the Christmas present opening. I feel like every Christmas I have like 50 gifts opening pictures, like they're just like, or I'm getting them unwrapping it, and then we never remember what those gifts are. I want to take pictures of them laughing and being together and wearing comfy clothes and sitting by the tree. I want that. And I want to honor them with our love and our memories instead of just the wrapped gifts. So here's ideas. Hug your kids more, make them laugh. Take more photos of you just hanging out. Read the Christmas story however you want. Watch Charlie Brown, who cares, and then talk about it. Tell them what frankincense and myrrh smell like and look like and how they feel in your fingers. Donate the toys that you have that are crowding your room so you can put the new toys in, but also so you can give to someone else. Share love with someone in need. We have been given the greatest gift. So has everyone we know. So this Christmas, figure out how to let them know that. Eugene, can you come up and play?
Absolutely.
What I want us to do just for a minute is, I would love for you to close your eyes and just thank God for the gift that he is. But then also ask him to open your heart to a new gift giving this year. See if there's someone that automatically pops into your head that just needs to know that they are loved. Maybe he'll give you a new, renewed sense of how to bring the King into your own family Christmas this year. So just take a minute, and then we're going to take communion. Lord, just open our hearts and our minds right now to you. You are a gift giver. How can we be loving and blessing the people in our lives? Because you loved and blessed us. Just speak to us right now, Jesus.